Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Jesus.
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
Look out there, look at it.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers goes deep on second and two. He's got a leap in Devontae Adams.
He's a man.
Rodgers hangs in the pocket, throwing into a lot of traffic in his heart for the touchdown.
Well, that defense is going to get a lot of team struggles. We got a defense. Once again, we got a defense.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We continue here with our 10th season of Cheesehead Radio. Your hosts tonight are the jocular C.D. Angeli, Tundra Vision on Twitter, along with the jubilant and always late Kelly Hodgson, that Packer girl on Twitter, and finally, little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV, and Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network are our good friends at Ticket King. Ticket King have been selling Packers, Badgers, concert, and other tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years and have a great reputation for excellent customer service and prices. They have locations right across from Lambeau Field where you can pick up your tickets. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. That takes care of the formalities. Let's get this show on the road.
Who moves my cheese?
All right, the Green Bay Packers 2-0 with the win over the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. It was a great game to watch. A little disappointing through some of the game as the offense came to a halt, but the defense sure seemed to pick it up. We're going to go through our Who Moved My Cheese. First of all, our sharp cheddar. Who was your superstar in this game? I'm going to say it was Jaire Alexander. Yeah, he could have tipped away that touchdown instead of trying to go for the interception. Yeah, but his coverage was tight all day. We have a real superstar in the backfield. It's been a long time since we've seen that in Green Bay.
Okay, I'm going to take one and head towards the offense, and I'm going to say Aaron Jones. When he had the ball, he was firing on all cylinders. 116 yards on 23 attempts and one touchdown. Feed the other Aaron the Rock early and often.
All right, and I'm going to go with Kenny Clark for my sharp cheddar. Viking center Garrett Bradbury has been credited with a overall terrible performance against the Packers, and it's all thanks to Mr. Clark.
Now we're going to go with our Swiss cheese. Who was that surprise player that showed up to play in the home opener? Well, I'm going to go with Brian Bulaga. Yeah, there's a lot of other superstars that day, but you know, with all the attention that Bakhtiari gets, Brian Bulaga has quietly put together one of his best starts to a season in a long time, going against Daniel Hunter and Khalil Mack. Could this be the year he stays healthy all season long?
Okay, I'm going to break the rules, do the new Swiss cheese rules, but also he's getting lumped in with the old Swiss cheese rules. Someone that was surprisingly good, but yet had some holes in it. I'm actually going to say it's Aaron Rodgers. He was white hot first quarter. He was unstoppable. And I thought we were going to be yelling, bring out your dead after the first quarter. But then he vanished. So he did have some holes in him, too. So he was surprisingly good, but I think there's room for improvement.
All right. And my surprise player was Aaron Jones. While not technically a surprise to me, surely few people expected the production he put forth on Sunday. So Aaron Jones.
All right, and finally, our Limburger cheese. Who was the guy that just let you down against the Vikings? Look, I'm totally on board with MVS. I believe in him. He's going to have a great career. He's going to be a number two, number three receiver and solid for us, but he had a rough game on Sunday. No matter how you slice it, he had 6 targets for only 19 yards and a solid handful of missed blocks and should have had those.
All right, my Limburger has been my Limburger since Sunday, and that's Trevor Davis. And hey, will you look at that? They traded him to Oakland tonight for $50 and a case of beer. He never really panned out. He never was that flash on special teams. And if he didn't have special teams, he had nothing really going for him. Hope that $50 and a case of beer goes a long way.
And for my stinky Limburger cheese, I'm going to go with Jimmy Graham. Let's face it, the guy is just a shell of his former self and a bad financial investment by the Packers.
We have a lot more great Packer talk coming up here on Cheesehead Radio, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
The Playbook.
Well, like we said, the Green Bay Packers got a win, but it wasn't always pretty. It was there was a game that you started out thinking that the world was on fire, we're going to the Super Bowl, then all of a sudden we couldn't complete a pass. They got within a touchdown and had a big first down at the end of the game to put the game away. Everyone's happy, high-fiving. We love the Smiths, but definitely a lot to talk about. But before we get to that, let's talk about the noise at Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers and everyone came out and said, we want the fans loud, and they were loud. What do you guys think? Jersey, yeah, we'll start with you.
Well, I wasn't there, so going from the TV broadcast, it did sound loud. I wouldn't say that it sounded like excessively crazy loud, like, you know, some stadiums you'll see in a playoff game, but it definitely could notice a difference from previous games. Kelly, I think, well, were you there?
Yeah, I was there.
So,
with my dad.
Okay, then tell us what you think.
It was a combination of organic noise. They actually put up a decibel meter on the Jumbotron trying to get people to raise the noise level up, and the highest I saw was 104 decibels. However, I think there was a little bit of can noise during the introduction of the team to make it even louder, which I thought was kind of a turnoff. I could be wrong. It was just this ambient kind of rumble sound, but they didn't pull it out during the game. That was definitely the crowd. The crowd seemed definitely more alive than they have in the past, and that was kind of fun. However, I couldn't get over I'll rant about it later, the very loud purple presence. Thank God the Packers were louder than them, but wow, were the Vikings fans loud too.
I did make a comment on Twitter saying, you know, boy, I sure was, you know, I know it was after the team was kind of spluttering a little bit in the third quarter, and I made a comment. I said, where's our fan noise? And my friend on Twitter, Erin Alice, was in attendance in the game. I think she's in her 20s, and she made the comment in response to me that this was the most electric game she had ever been to, that she hadn't been at a game that had this kind of vibrancy and electricity. And, you know, for a guy who went to a ton of games in the 90s, you know, in the build-up to the Super Bowl years and even to the 2 Favgate games at Lambeau Field, to sit there and think that that game was probably the most electric we've had in a long time, it's a positive, but wow, it's been a while since we've really had that kind of atmosphere.
I have to agree. I think this is the loudest game, at least since I've been a season ticket holder, that's not a playoff game. They were pulling out all the stops to make it noisier. They'd have, you know, different players, defensive, offensive, you know, mainly defensive players that would pop up on the screen saying, make some noise. Some were cheesy as can be, and it's like, hello, I am reading a script, be loud, thanks. And other ones really played the role well. So they were trying different ways to get them noisier. And a lot of times, it was just very spontaneous. It was third down, people were on their feet, which is something I love to see. But yeah, I don't think people remember how loud it was back in the 90s. Another thing was, the one time we got super loud is when the stupid Vikings started chanting Skol. And I'm like, you do not get to take over our bowl. And thank God, Go Pack Go drowned it out.
As you would expect.
As
you
it should
certainly
be.
Would hope. Yes.
Okay.
Interesting note that next week, this upcoming Sunday, will be a gold package, which means we will have the traditional Milwaukee crowd at the game instead of our traditional Green Bay crowd. That tends to be a little bit of friction between the two crowds, in which usually the Green Bay crowd claims that they are a little more active involved and the Milwaukee crowd is a little more laid back. So I would say perhaps last week has thrown the gauntlet down to the Milwaukee crowd, and maybe they can bring some of that Brewer excitement to Lambeau Field.
Let's see what they can do. You're
and
up.
As someone who has, I have the 8-ticket package because I'm up a little higher. Yeah, there is a difference between the Green Bay crowd and the Milwaukee crowd.
Do you change when it's a Milwaukee crowd to assimilate?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I cheer a
it's
lot.
It's a joke. Never mind.
I know. Ha ha. I know.
Went right
I
over
know.
The head.
Back off
Next.
Now. However, I
Next
did
topic.
Try to get my. Okay.
All right. Moving on. Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Well, actually, it's funny because somewhere, I think, in the middle or the beginning to the middle of the second quarter, I tweeted out, wait a minute, we're not snapping the ball with 0.999 seconds left on the clock, because they weren't. You know, I swear to God, and you're not going to believe this, but I saw a ball snapped with more than 10 seconds left on the play clock.
I did see that too.
Okay. So see, I wasn't crazy. I wasn't hallucinating. I saw a few with like 5 seconds, 6 seconds, and I was like beside myself. But then things changed. The Vikings, I think, made some good adjustments. I think they started disguising and changing up their defense a little bit, which caused Rodgers to want to spend a little more time trying to figure out what they were doing, as he's prone to do. And then the second half was pretty much back to, you know, snapping with 0.9999 seconds left. So that was that. The elusive screen pass, he threw a touchdown on a screen pass. So that's improvement, right?
He threw a couple screen passes. That was impressive.
Yeah. No, I think that actually he did pretty or better than he usually does. Let's put it that way. And the screen pass that went for a touchdown was set up perfectly by LaFleur from an earlier play. I had it in my article today on Cheesehead TV. Ben Fennell, who does a whole bunch of cool video work, put together these two plays back to back. The first time they ran the play, this was when they had the two backs in the backfield, and it wasn't the fullback. It was Jones and Williams. And in one case, one running back went over to the, in the first play, the one running back, I'm not sure if it was Williams or Jones, went over into the flat and caught a pass to the left flat. The second play, they started out the same way. The guy went into motion, went over to the left flat. Rodgers looks at him. The middle linebacker, Kendrick, starts sprinting towards that sideline. Rodgers turns, dumps off the screen pass to Aaron Jones. Touchdown. Kendricks is trying like crazy to get back there. He gets back there just as Jones, you know, is crossing the goal line. So it was just a magnificent play call and lead up to that play. So that was really good to see.
Yeah, I think with the return of the bad habit, the holding on to the ball, not seeing the obvious open receiver, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't it start to correlate with when the running game really started to fizzle out and the whole offense was suddenly on Rodgers' shoulders? Because I think that's when he really starts to have his blind spots, and that's when he starts to hold on to the ball because he's overanalyzing.
Yeah. It just amazes me how he gets it off with like less than a second left every time. I mean, literally.
Yeah, I don't know.
The ball starts to move and it goes to zero on the clock. You know, I'm shocked that they don't call him for delay a game more often. I'm really shocked that the referees are that good at determining that he got it off just in time. Either that or they just don't know. And they're not good at all, but he
that
gets away
definitely
with it.
Be a, because there were some where I was absolutely convinced he was going to get flagged for it, or we would have to burn a timeout.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or is it just a little bit of a, you know, little bit of a little wiggle room you get when you're somebody like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, but Tom Brady doesn't hold on
like
the ball that long, so that's...
The Jordan
like,
rule.
Like in the NBA, yeah, you get the foul call. Yeah, right. It's very possible. But
I think there's a little bit of that because they know he's going to hold on to it, but he's going to get it off. So I think he gets a little bit of a pass.
Right. Hey, you see that Sam Ficken is now the Jet kicker, and he actually made a goal for them, and they are thrilled here, let me tell you. They think they just found the next Adam Vinatieri because they found the kicker can actually make field goals.
Well, looking at how Adam Vinatieri is doing, I think they're probably lucky to have the next Adam Vinatieri. So anyway, next topic.
And
I could probably expand on this one a little bit. For two games in a row, a game has been sealed by a great interception in the end zone. Something that we've been missing the past couple of years. Maybe if you harken back to 2010 and the Packers drive for the Super Bowl, and of course, Jersey, yeah, we were both doing the show then. It really wasn't until 2011 where Aaron Rodgers really became the very, very exceptional passer that he was. In fact, there were a lot of times that the offense kind of disappeared in that season, and it always seemed like there was Sam Shields or Tremont Williams. Somebody made an interception. Someone forced a turnover and always ended up sealing those games. And you're almost feeling like that's happening again.
And a lot of them were in the end zone, just like these two were.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know,
right?
Cardiac.
Right, when the other team was driving down at the end of the game and they're trying to score to win the game, and here's an interception in the end zone or on the five-yard line or something like that. Very similar, eerily similar to what we've seen with those two interceptions this year.
Exactly.
Well, that type of aggressiveness really does remind me of 2010, because that whole championship year was won on takeaways. And one of the images that really stands out in my head from that playoff run, I think it was the Falcons game. We were in the game right before the NFC Championship. And I just remember Tremont Williams leaping up, you know, sky high in the corner and just taking the ball and that was the dagger of that game. And we're starting to see that again. We haven't had that aggressive of a secondary, I really don't think, since that 2010 year. And it's really refreshing to see Amos and Alexander and Kenny Clark leaping in the air. That's something we haven't had in several years.
Yep.
I think Preston Smith said it himself, and that actually will segue into our next topic. We're young, we're talented, and we love to have fun on the field. I mean, that's what you're seeing with this
great
defense.
Great combination.
Yeah, I mean, you're just seeing the synergy in that. You know, that's why I titled the show, this is chemistry. This is defensive chemistry we're having this year. We haven't seen this in a lot of time. There's been a lot of slacking. There's been a lot of standing. There's been a lot of mental mistakes under Capers for so many years. Bad angles on balls, missed tackles, and you're just seeing a joy for playing the game, and it makes it fun to watch. I mean, how long is it that we're actually almost more excited to see our defense on the field than maybe our offense?
It's fun.
Well, yeah.
I even love.
It's such a novelty.
I love the silly pose pictures of the whole defense. They make a play and they're all posing in the end zone. If this is a team that is in, they're enjoying what they're doing again. They're not phoning it in. And I like the energy they're bringing this year. They unlike last year where it seems like nobody wanted to be there, they all are feeding off each other. They're also getting the crowd pumped every time that they're on the field too. And I think it's a great relationship among the defenders and also with the defenders and the crowd, because they're the ones that were, instead of the canned, you know, videos of get on your feet and yell Lambo, when they would raise their hands, the crowd would go bananas.
You know, I thought it was interesting that Za'Darius Smith, in his first year with the team, was elected a team captain, like the permanent captain for the entire season. He's right. Really kind of an incredible guy, and I'll just tell a real quick personal story. My secretary, her son actually started, he's in his 20s, he started buying up houses in Green Bay and renting them out. And one day my secretary comes in and says, I have to run down to Green Bay. I said, why is that? I said, my son just rented out a house and he's out of town, but a Packer just rented his house. I said, oh, who's that? And he says, oh, some guy named Smith. I said, really? So my secretary has been visiting Za'Darius quite a bit, moved into his house, said he moved in, didn't have a car, didn't have any furniture. So she went down and took him shopping for groceries because he didn't have any groceries, and said about halfway through the thing, he was calling her mom. Hey, mom, calling down the aisles. Hey, mom, I need some of this.
That's cute.
She's just laughing.
That is adorable.
Yeah, and she just said he's just the nicest, most genuine guy. So, I mean, this was my first impression of Za'Darius Smith. So, I mean, I've been shopping for my Za'Darius Smith jersey, you know, ever since then. But to see that level of respect to where he's taking Rashawn Gary and saying, hey, kid, come on, we're going to go watch film. That's a veteran move, taking in the rookie. So let's go watch film. Really bonding with Preston, who they've known since, you know, college years, but really bonding. And you see them coming together, and they're like their brothers. You know, their kids play together. It's just fun to see that level. And I'm happy for Za'Darius really taking that leadership role.
And what you guys may not realize is the first game of the home opener, they always introduce the defense. It's who, you know, with the green lights, and this time the the smoke effect. And it always used to be Clay Matthews would be the last one they would announce and the crowd would go bananas. The Packers are doing that with Zeus Smith now. He is the last one to go out onto the field for the defense.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
He is the face of the defense, and the crowd loved it. They ate it up. You know, he was the last one out. And that, I think that really shows that he really has become the leader they all lean on to. And wow, did we upgrade on linebacker with him. I am so impressed, and I think he's only going to get better. He is a beast on the field, and from what Stevie's saying, a really genuinely nice guy. And I'm kind of glad your secretary is his unofficial mom.
Makes
yeah,
me happy
and I
too.
Just want to add, I just want to add that I am a big, big, big fan of this move, naming three permanent captains for the entire season. I was never on board with the rotating captains every week. I love consistency. And to have those three guys that are the official captains and the rest of the team knows who to go to every week if there's something to talk about, I love that move. And you know, and credit to whoever thought of it to have three additional rotating captains every week. That's fine. As long as you have your three main captains and then give other guys a chance, you know, to have some kind of role every other week, that's fine. But I'm a huge fan of that move. Huge.
Well, I think it makes people like Rodgers and Smith really take ownership of their part of the
right.
game.
Yep.
Then there's definitely a buy-in. The downside, though, is Aaron Rodgers will not be photobombing another captain's photo for the rest of the season.
Exactly.
And I'm kind of bummed about that, but it looked like
I'm okay with
QB2 is rising to the occasion, and
It
played out. It had
its
run.
Era.
It was a lot of fun, but, you know, it's time for something else. Speaking of which.
It is time for our Packer Tweets.
Packer Tweets. From Packer Tweets.
Like all of you, we scour Packers Twitter for some of our funniest and best tweets of the week. We're going to give you each of our favorites from this past week. We're going to take a vote at the end and see who comes away with this week's Tweet of the Week. We're going to start with Kelly.
It's always harder to get a game tweet when I'm actually at the game, so I was kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel tonight. But Aaron Nagler, one of the co-founders of our website.
Cheesehead TV.
Yeah, big brain
Cheesehead
part.
Cheesehead TV. Mamma mia.
All right. Okay. So I'm not the only one with concussion brain tonight, apparently.
Evidently.
Says, time for play action. Boot deep to Jordan. Oh, never mind.
Okay.
Yes, we missed Jordy Nelson.
All right. My tweet of the week comes from Titletown Soundoff. I actually used to be a show here right at Packers Talk. He says, in exchange for Trevor Davis to the Raiders, the Packers will receive Antonio Brown's hand-painted helmet.
All righty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of lukewarm, right? Kind of lukewarm reaction.
Exactly.
None of these are great, okay?
Hey. Mine is from Packers.com reporter and friend of the show, Wes Hodkowitz, who tweeted, the most underrated aspect of Sunday's Minnesota versus Green Bay game, the wave did not appear. Good job, fans.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to vote for our best. Kelly, you get to vote first.
Because he's an all-around good guy, I'm going to go with Wes Hodkowitz.
All right.
Ding!
I am also going to cast my vote for Wes Hodkowitz.
Ding!
So, Al, who are
Al
you going
wins.
To vote for?
I'm voting for myself since it really doesn't matter. It's a sweep.
Ding!
Ding! Three dings. I win. I haven't won one of these in a long time.
No. And you needed Wes Hodkowitz to do it.
Hey, whatever works.
Exactly. So, Wes Hod and Jersey Al, you get this week's Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of Wes, you know he's in on all of the jokes about J.K. Scott. He's like, oh, he's got a date for prom. I'm like, wait a second, Wes. A year or two ago, there were the jokes about you being the youngster.
So J.K. Scott is the new Wes Hodkowitz.
Like a youngster.
Apparently so. He's getting the youngster.
Something like that.
Well, I guess I want to talk. This is quite a little meltdown on Twitter this week. And obviously, as we talked about in our cheese segment, MVS had his struggles. Allison had a couple of receptions, I think three. Really didn't have a lot of production at the wide receiver position, to be honest with you. We really didn't have any production at the tight end position. But also, you saw some of these people panicking. We were supposed to trade for another wide receiver. We don't have anyone to compliment Devontae Adams. Is it overblown, or do you guys have any concerns right now about the depth that we have at wide receiver?
Kelly, I'll let you take this one first.
All right, I'll start. I think a lot of people forget after that really spectacular year last year, MVS is only a second-year player. He still has lots of room to grow and develop. And we were saying the same thing about Devontae Adams his second year. It's, oh, there's this huge slump. He's awful. You know, kick him to the curb, and now he's our number one receiver. Yes, he made some really bonehead moves at this game, and the one that stands out is he gets the ball and then doubles back like he's a running back trying to go east-west and lost a ton of yards. You know, honey, this is not college ball. That doesn't tend to work in the pros. But I'm not going to panic yet, because we seem to panic with everybody in their second year, and they turn out just fine. What I don't want to see is Rodgers giving up on him. I think he definitely has a future with the Packers. I think this is a growing year. But the worst thing that we could possibly do is take him out of the equation. I think he needs the repetition. He needs to build the chemistry that he had with Rodgers last year. I'm not all that worried. I was frustrated, but he also pulls down some spectacular catches as well. So I'm going to write this off as a little bit of a minor second-year slump, but I think he's going to rise.
All right. I started the MVS train. Now, before anybody jumps in, I had the Packers drafting him in my mock draft for the Cheesehead TV draft guide. So before he was even a Packer, I was on the MVS train. I am not about to jump off the MVS train. I don't see a big slump. I mean, people are talking about it like he's had a horrendous start to the season. No, he hasn't had a horrendous start. You know, I mean, he's going to be a big play receiver for the Packers, a guy that can stretch the field. You know, it's going to take a little time for Rodgers and him to work it out, just like it took him and Devontae Adams to work it out. They're two different types of receivers. So, you know, that you have to take that into account. But I am not at all worried about MVS. But and I don't expect him to be all pro this year either. You know, it's going to be a learning process and an ongoing process, and he'll be just fine. The other thing is, now that the superfluous Trevor Davis is off the roster, there's room for one touchdown Jesus Kumerow to kind of move up a notch in the pecking order. And I think, you know, maybe not this week, but I think during the first half of this season, you're going to start seeing him get some opportunities. And I think he's got potential to be like the Packers' number three receiver, a good possession guy, the guy that can get you the first down when you need it, and kind of build that rapport with Rodgers that he's always going to know where he is. So I'm hoping to see that develop. Nothing against Geronimo Allison, but I think Kumerow, you know, obviously he's gotten a bunch of hype like Jeff Janis did, and I'm not on him for that reason. I just think there's something there that the Packers have yet to kind of uncover. And I think maybe this year, as the season goes on, we'll start to see it.
And I think it's unfair to compare him to Janis, because I think he's much cleaner in his routes than Janis ever was.
Of course.
Now, he went to Whitewater, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Which I think a lot of people forget, for a smaller school, has an outstanding football program. It isn't like he was playing some D3 little tiny ball like a Grand Valley State or whatever. You know, Whitewater has won national championships on their level several times over. So I think he gets he's underappreciated, and I think he's got a ton of talent.
Yeah, I hope we get to see it this year. Hope he gets a chance.
Going back to the original question, do you guys have any concerns with the tight end position?
That wasn't the original question.
No,
I brought it up within the middle. Yeah, we'll go back and listen. I kind of said that the tight ends also weren't getting a lot of passes. And I guess I'm wondering what your thought is. Do you think this is an aspect of the scheme? Because we didn't even see a lot of balls really thrown in the direction of our tight ends. Do you think that the tight ends are a little more...
Sorry, I didn't know you were still going.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're going to see something different every week. which I think is absolutely marvelous, instead of seeing the same thing every week, which you kind of got used to. You know, you look in, look at how much the tight ends were used against the Bears. So you know the Vikings are game planning, right, for that. And here comes the Packers, and they hardly use the tight ends against the Vikings. And they showed the Vikings a bunch of things they didn't show against the Bears. And what happened? They came out with a 21-0 start. Obviously, eventually, the Zimmer and the Vikings caught up a little bit and made adjustments, but the damage had been done by that point. And I think that's just fantastic. So I'm not worried about, oh, well, tight ends didn't get used this week, or, well, how come Geronimo Allison or MVS didn't get more targets? Or I'm really not worried about it. I really feel like, much like, not to put him in this category, but much like the Belichick and the Patriots, I think you're going to see a unique game plan every week based on the opponent, and not just, well, we're going to run the same toss play and the same out routes, and it's up to the guys to perform and win their battles, and we'll win the game. No, I don't think we're going to see that. I think LaFleur is going to scheme to make things easier for the Packers, and I am just goddamn delighted about it.
Okay, not related to the tight end, but the idea of scheming and planning. So, hi, sorry, CD, I'm going on a tangent. Shocker, I know.
Really?
Today I saw, yeah, shut up. Today I saw that LaFleur made a comment that he wants to equalize the number of touches between Aaron Jones and Williams. And that was something that drove us all just bananas last year when McCarthy did it. Because when Jones gets hot, he gets hot. I hope that it's equalizing touches within reason. If Jones is hot, leave him in. What do you guys think about that?
CD, you never get to go first.
I never do. I think you feed Aaron Jones. You know, the guy really is the one that we've looked at as having this tremendous talent, that backfield vision, the ability to change direction. He's for most of the game, he was averaging over 5 yards a carry. Why would you want to take the ball out of his hand? And it's nothing against Williams, but I think he can be an excellent guy. I thought it was great seeing them in a bone formation, you know, having them both in the backfield at the same time. I think that's fantastic. But, you know, at some point, you've just got to say, we're going to commit to our number one running back, and we're going to get him 20 touches, and we're going to win games, even games that we're struggling to win, because we've at least dedicated ourselves and we got 100 yards on the ground from one guy.
Yeah, the only caveat, I mean, I love Aaron Jones as much as anybody, and he was my favorite of the three when they drafted three running backs that one year. But I think a lot of it is just not trying to wear him down, you know, just trying to give him a little bit of a rest during the game, because, you know, he has been a little prone to injuries, not awfully, but a little bit. And I think the more fresher you can keep him for the stretch run, the better. So I'm okay with them using Williams, you know, the way they have been. Maybe not 50-50. I don't know that I'd go that far, but I think what they did against the Vikings is a good ratio.
Yeah, what I just hope doesn't happen, and I'm confident it won't because it's not McCarthy, was you would pull him when he was hot for no other reason than, oh, we're just going to put Williams in and see what he can do.
It's Williams' turn, yeah.
And that's what it felt like last year. And so when I saw that today.
No, it didn't feel like, Kelly, it didn't feel like it. That's what it was. Yeah, call it what it was. That's what it was. Before the game, they decided that Williams is going to get the third series or the fifth series or whatever, and that's just what they did.
And it was a momentum killer. So when I saw that comment today of we're going to make sure they get equal touches, I'm like, please let it be more organic than something scripted, because the scripting of it that last year didn't work, and it almost seemed punitive at times.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
All right, time for our Hot Pockets.
I think so.
All right, I guess I'll start. And I kind of alluded to this earlier. Can we talk about how purple Lambeau was this past Sunday? In fact, I was having coworkers who are Vikings fans saying, hey, are you going to the game? Can I buy your tickets? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to the game. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, I would tell them to a Packer fan first, but thanks. It was a really purple home game. And, you know, they usually are. But when the skull chant was resounding in the bowl, come on. And then there's the fact that when it's filled with purple fans, I have to drive home in Vikings traffic 3 hours. I can usually blast across the state by myself, dodging deer. But no, I'm in a long, never-ending line of Viking fans. Come on, people. It looked more like an away game than a home game this weekend. Thankfully, everyone took the charge to bring noise more seriously. At one point, like I said earlier, it hit 104 decibels. Love the noise. Love the energy. Love that everyone but my dad saw it. And yes, he sat. But for the love of God, friends, do not let friends sell Vikings the tickets of Vikings fans. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
Okay. Welcome to the NFL, Matt LaFleur. While technically his second game and win, I think we started to get a glimpse of what this Packers offense can do with a solid game plan. With a true dedication to establishing a running game, and how many times did we hear that smoke from Mike McCarthy, the Packers had the ball for 67% of the first half, and along with an aggressive defense, thoroughly dominated the Vikings. The Vikings have a very good defense, and as you would expect, made some good adjustments to slow down the Packers in the second half. Regardless, we were given a little sneak peek at what might be coming down the road, and I am all in on it. And that is my
Well, Go Package fans, you get a chance to see the Packers in Lambeau with just as much pressure on you to hold up your end of the bargain when it comes to fan engagement, but luckily you probably won't have the crowd being 30% in the favor of the other team. I don't think that many people from Denver are going to make that trip up. But even better, you get the alternate jersey game this year as the Packers will trot out their old blue and gold shoulder panel jerseys. Interesting tidbit, the Packers are the last team in the NFL still using the old Reebok-inspired design after Nike took over the NFL jersey contract in 2012. Now, obviously, Nike has had some more impressive looks, particularly with some of the alternate jerseys where, you know, the Packers have had a very traditional look for quite some time. Now, I'll be awfully happy to see the new-look Packer team that we presently have on the field also take on a new-look alternate jersey in the NFL's 101st year. If you didn't see the Jets' stealth black look on Monday Night Football, check it out. I could see both Smiths looking awfully intimidating in it. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
Well, the Green Bay Packers are going to try to go to 3-0 to start the season as they host the 0-2 Denver Broncos on Sunday. Lost a heartbreaker to the Bears last week. Can the Packers keep it going, or is the party coming to a close? Jersey Al, we will start with you.
Next Sunday, the Packers offense breaks out against a only mortal defense as Matt LaFleur reveals a bit more of his offense of the world. Packers 33, Broncos 13.
And I'm going to say that the poor Broncos really just can't catch a break. The Packers are going to go 3-0, while the Broncos fall to 0-3. I think it's going to be a little closer than we think and maybe even comfortable in the first half, but Aaron Rodgers and company will get their crap together, and they're going to win in the second half, going away 30-17.
Okay, this isn't the Elway Broncos. This isn't the Peyton Manning Broncos. This is the 2019 Broncos, and they're just okay. Maybe not even okay, they're kind of stinky. But wouldn't it be nice if our offense, showed up for a full four quarters? If that happens, the Broncos do not stand a chance. And next week, I think that happens. The Packs survived two very stout, intimidating defenses. Next week, not so much. So I'm confident they'll overcome Denver's inadequacies and hopefully pound them. I'm going to say Packers 35. I think the Broncos are going to score a bunch, and it's going to be 21.
All right.
Unanimous.
Well, I think that's a wrap. Yeah, definitely. 3-0 for 3-0. All right, let's end this one.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our 10th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packer podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen to us by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, be sure to check out our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap, gentlemen. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. 3-0.
See y'all next week.
We haven't done that. We haven't done 3-0 in a long time.
Right?
No kidding.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.